Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 334th episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Mason, joined by my co-host each and every week, Allie. Allie, how you doing?
I am sleepy, but ready to talk about my favorite format.
Oh, we're going to talk about Modern today?
I got to go, actually. Like, this was a good podcast, but...
All right, well, if someone wants to find you, Allie, where can they go? How much of the bit do you want to commit to? Because, you know, I've done a lot of improv stuff. I'll, you know, never say no. No, we're going to talk all about Historic today, though. We have the Historic Arena open this weekend on Arena. So I just realized I said Historic Arena open on Arena, which is just really smooth. So if you haven't heard about that, though, we'll guess we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But that's going to be our main thing today. But Allie, before we move on, what's got you so tired? Is it all your hard work, your total domination of the game, the Pro Tour Finals weekend? What's got you down? Hitting partner on Twitch? What?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long weekend. I feel like, I don't know. I always like have a lot going on and I try not to take days off, and I kind of took Monday off but still ended up making like 2 YouTube videos. It feels like I just haven't had a break in a long time, but yeah, I guess that's just how it goes.
That's that grind they always talk about, you know. Do you remember when COVID started? I remember seeing tweets like, give me my 2-week vacation. Do you remember those sort of tweets? Now look at us. Oh my goodness, what a time to be alive. Well, speaking of time to be alive, we can talk about always improving. That is the point of the show. If you're not getting better, you're kind of getting worse there, and we really try to preach that. And so, Allie, what was your always improving moment this week?
So obviously I was preparing a lot for the PT finals, which I don't know, I realized I start to get like pretty discouraged in my testing because I don't typically like test how a lot of other people test, because like all like a bunch of people I was talking to were like, hey, what do you think about this deck and this deck and this deck? Do you want me to help you test for this? Do you want to do this? And it like overwhelmed me, and I'm like, actually, like, I'm good. I'm just gonna like sit here and do my own thing, which is like largely a theoretical testing, because I stream all day, so I really just like, when I'm doing stuff like this, sit and think about what a format looks like, what's gonna go well, what's not gonna go well, and a bunch of stuff like that. And like, for a lot of people, that's just like not how testing works for them. And so I always felt for a long time that I wasn't like preparing adequately enough, and felt like really bad because like, I don't know, I kept doing like pretty well without putting in as much work as maybe some other people. But then I'm also sitting there like, well, I after talking to a couple people, I'm not like testing less per se, but just like testing different with a much more like theoretical approach. And I think that's an important thing to consider, as just like everyone kind of tests differently. So if that is you, like, I don't even know what I'm trying to say anymore, but just like testing processes look different for everyone. And even if you don't fall in like the conventional what testing looks like, you can just like still test your own way. I don't really know how to elaborate on that more.
No, I like what you're getting at there, and I think it's hard to summarize that, because I think you can like kind of cap it off a lot of ways. But like, you know, Allie, the education program in this country and the world we have right now is perfect. So clearly, there's only one way to do things, right? Like, there's no problems with schools and learning and standardized tests and things like that. There's an optimal way to do it. And, you know, you're just not there in magic right now. No, joking aside, right? Like, there's just different ways, and people learn different ways, right? And it's I'm so glad that you're not, like, beating yourself up about, like, oh, I didn't play, you know, 40 hours of Arena, right? Like, you know, in testing off stream, right, to get ready for this Player Tours Finals. Instead, I spent my time, you know, thinking about things and doing these sort of things and having conversations, right? And I think it's great that you realize that, because I think also, if that stuff doesn't work for you and you're finding things that do work for you, why are you changing it drastically, right? Like, why would you ever be like, oh, well, I've, like, had consistent results over these things, and I feel like I have a good grasp on the metagame. I've done well doing these sort of things. I should really scrap all of that and play Arena for 40 hours, more a week. You know, and I think a lot of people feel that pressure, like you talked about, right? Where they're like, oh my gosh, you know, Harlan, like, I think, you know, Harlan's a great example. When I guested on Up-to-Date MTG, he was like, yeah, I played, like, 100 matches with every top deck, and I played about 150 with Red Black Aggro. And I was like, dude, I spent, like, 20 hours playing. Like, it's a lot. It's not 100 matches with every top deck and then 150 with the deck I played. I, you know, maybe 200 matches, you know? So, like...
So there's... It's, like, also... just, I guess, tying it into a broader, like, what I learned from that is that because everyone, like, tests differently, like, I can find what works for me and not necessarily end up, like, wasting my time or hurting my testing process by trying something that just, like, doesn't work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, this kind of ties nicely into my always improving moment. I actually played the MTGA Zone free Historic Open this past weekend. I commentated it 2 weekends ago, which was a fun experience. And then this last weekend I competed in it because I figured, you know, if I'm going to talk all this trash talk on coverage, you know, and say how I broke the format, I should play. And I unfortunately only got 9th, and the deck I chose and promoted won the event, has totally dominated Historic since then. But anyways, I played Reclamation, and I actually did kind of what you talked about, where it was like I just spent some time, thought about the stuff, thought about how I wanted to approach matchups and stuff like that. And the improving moment was I didn't give people enough credit to figure out that Reclamation was busted with a lack of tournaments in the format. And I came way underprepared for the Mirror Game 1, and I played the Mirror 4 times, which, by the way, is more than I played in the Pro Tour where Team Reclamation was the best deck. I played it twice there. And I played it 4 times in this Historic Open. And my opponents came ready, like main deck Aether Gust, main deck Spectral Sailor, that sort of stuff. And I got beat up in... one of those matchups, and because of those sort of things, and you just can't succeed at that level. And so I should have given people more credit. So my always improving moment is really like remembering that people are going to catch up and stuff like that, and I need to have the deck for that week, which I think has been a long-term problem of mine, of like I'm at the wrong point in a week. Like I'm either behind or I'm ahead, and I'm never like where I need to be in the moment, you know. And my deck, I think, was actually insane for the last weekend where there's goblins everywhere and goblins was crushing. I had like 4 Essence Scatters main deck and a bunch of Wrath and stuff. And I just don't lose to creature decks. But those kind of things don't really matter in the Reclamation Mirror. I should have given people more credit and maybe figured out ways to hedge and do things like Aether Gust in the main deck as a way to still respect goblins and, you know, a lot of the aggressive decks, but have game for the mirror. So that's my always improving moment.
Nice. Yeah, I remember. This is back to standard, but you mentioned you didn't play that many mirrors in the first PT, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I played like a decent amount of mirrors, but nothing like this past weekend. granted, different format, but there's a whole lot of teamer going on right now.
It's funny that you say granted different format, because I feel like the only deck that really changed that was good was the mono black deck and Bant, and those are both predators for teamer in a weird way, right? And like, did you play more? I guess the question is, did you play more Bant at the PT finals? You played 0 at the last PT, but what about the finals? Did you hit one?
No, I have not hit Bant at all. I hit 4 color wreck a lot, and that was pretty bad.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I forgot that deck is at prominence now.
Yeah.
My actual last round of my PT was against that deck, and they slammed Teferi on 3 both games. I didn't have a Mystical Dispute and died. It was great. I love it.
yeah. Fun and interactive.
Yeah. What Teferi is just truly the pinnacle of design. Whether that's good or bad design, I'll leave that up to the audience. Tweet at CCMTG and let us know what you think. By the way, Allie, if you want to let us like ask questions to us and stuff like that, and you want to support the show, did you know that people can go to patreon.com/ccmtg and ask questions on the show?
Really? I'm new here. Can you tell me more about that?
You can get all these sort of things, access to the Discord, and ask questions just like this one. It's, when trying to attack a format with a 3+ decks that are good, what do you prioritize most in deck choice? So if you have a triangle format, what do you, you know, or maybe a little bit more there, what are you trying to prioritize in deck selection?
That's really hard, and that, like, depends on the format for me, honestly. I think the most, like, broad thing I could say is that I typically tend to favor decks that are the best deck in the triangle, but, like, I've also been known to, like, level two, which is the deck that beats the best deck, and, that's a hard question. I think, like, when it comes down to it, if you're, like, if we're using this standard as an example, we're looking at, the Team Erech is very clearly the best deck, and I think when it's, like, that far, I'm not gonna be trying to, metagame and beat it in any capacity.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with that for the most part. I think you should play the best deck most of the time. And I think also, if let's say it's more than a three, because the question does say 3+, which is a little awkward because it leads to like a bigger metagame theory, like, potentially, but also people talk about 3-deck format. So if we're thinking about more decks, I try to stay with the deck that I think is the strongest and is the most fluid. So the deck that I can, like, fix and play in the matchup the way I want to play it. So, like, this isn't a great example because Teemer was the best deck by a lot in that format. But a deck like Teemer Energy, you could splash with a Scarab God. You could, kind of like, I guess, like Reclamation right now, right? Like, you can splash for Teferi and do these sort of things. And these powerful decks that have a good stream, like, streamlined game plan that's going to win you games, but are able to adapt to what's going on a given weekend as well. Because I do think that the trick to standard, you know, is, like, or one of the tricks, I should say, maybe just to Magic in general, is, like, making your opponent's cards as worse as possible, right? Make them as much of a ham sandwich as you can. And with that being the case, like, having me able to build my decks in different ways or have different sideboard plans can really invalidate what they're trying to do, right? Like, they bring in a bunch of Aether Gusts and I side out all my green cards that really matter. You know, it's really hard if I don't have any red cards in my deck, so... Just stuff like that. I know that's kind of a broad thing. It's like, it is a hard question to answer. I wish we had, like, a healthier format so we could really, like, dig into it. And I'm trying to think of a standard format that's been like this in recent years. Allie, can you think of one?
I think, like, even just before this is a good example. Maybe this is a little before it. Like, I think about the, maybe it's still, like, the triangle format, but it's, I'm thinking about the weekend where Andrei Strasky won the GP online that I also top aided, and it was just like, you can play Fires, you can play Bant, you can play Rexxack, and I don't think you were wrong for playing any of them. And then you kind of have a little more to think about, right? Like, you have to think about, what's your comfort level, what are you good on, like, what do you think is the best deck, and how can you tune your deck to kind of attack whatever the best deck is, or whatever the, like, second best deck is? Because I think, like, all three of those were, like, reasonable choices. It was just kind of, like, choosing what you wanted to beat that weekend, and I think a lot of that comes down to what you're comfortable with as well.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. Yeah. I also think, that's just all that really needs to be said, is when the format is good like that, if all of the things are reasonable, just try and pick the one that you think is going to be best for that weekend, that's your best with, you know? And I think it's hard for that to go wrong, right? And we've seen a lot of success throughout Magic's life, people doing that sort of thing. So hopefully that question was answered to your satisfaction. But you can ask questions just like that and hear them on this show each and every week by going to patreon.com/ccmtg. Another way to support the show is go to our sponsor, Oasis Games. You go to Oasis Games and order the Magic the Gathering cards that you want to buy. Now it's a kind of a good time to pick up Magic cards. They're kind of cheap these days. With Double Masters coming out, we got reprints, we got prices dropping. You can use code WouldThatBeGood to get 15% off your first order, and use code CCMTG to get 4% off every order. So that way they know we sent you, and you can get some Magic cards back for you. Allie, let's hop into our main topic for this week's episode, though. We're talking all about Historic. Now, every time we've done this in the past, there's been a banning or something happening. So if you hate Goblins or Reclamation, this might be a good sign for you to hear this episode coming out. But there's a lot that's changed, because since we last talked about it, and we took, you know, last week off, Jumpstart came out and has completely changed the Historic format. And going into this weekend's MTGA, the MTG Arena Open, where you play best of one day one. If you qualify for day two, you'll play a normal 2 out of 3 style games. And if you get 7 wins before you get 3 losses, you win $2,000 American And you actually also qualify for the Zendikar Rising Championship, which is, my understanding is basically a pro tour, so that's kind of cool. So you're playing a PTQ, as well this weekend. So, Allie, we're going to talk all about Historic, and I think the deck that really is, like, on the top of people's tongues, and people are always talking about these days, is Goblins. So let's kind of talk about Goblins for a minute. What do you feel about the Goblin deck going into this weekend and in Historic in general?
I think it's going to be a very good choice for day one. I know we saw, I don't know who had the data. Someone had data that just Goblins had an abysmal win rate in best of three, but I still think it's a very good best of one deck. I think it's probably going to force people to kind of respect it in best of one as well, because I do think it is a very good best of one deck. Essentially, for anyone out there that doesn't know, you're just like ramping and going as fast as you can into Muxus, the new Jumpstart Goblin, where you reveal six cards from the top of your library and put all Goblins 5 CMC or less into play, directly into play.
It's super collected company.
It's so cool. It's so much fun, too. You just get, like, these absurd turns where you can flip into, like, Skirk Prospector, Kiki Jiki, and one of your haste goblins. So you just activate Kiki Jiki, essentially have a million more mana, and you can, like, do it again if you have another goblin or if you have Goblin Matron. It's wild. I love it.
Yeah, the deck getting Muxus and Krinko into the format were pretty big gets. Getting Chieftain was also another huge get. The Goblins deck is interesting because, you know, traditionally we've seen Goblins decks in the past be like these resource denial decks, right? Like Port, Wasteland, Lackey, that sort of stuff. And then now, ever since Snoop came out, they've kind of turned into these combo decks. And I agree with the assessment that Goblins is definitely like the thing to look out for, at least on day one. I think Goblins is just like, it's built like a combo deck right now, and that's why it's bad in the post-board games, is it doesn't really have a way to win a fair game plan with the current builds. But if you just need to smork people, last time, Allie, you know, you and I and a bunch of other people just played Winota day one in these events and just crushed it. And Goblins has got big Winota, like, type vibes to me. I wouldn't compare it to Winota in gameplay exactly, but same sort of thing going on.
Yeah, I see that too. I kind of compare it to Winota. It does something, like, similar. They've already banned something for doing it similarly. I don't know. It feels very powerful. I don't know if it's necessarily, like, ban-worthy because, like, as we said, it right now has a 40% win rate or something. Wherever. I think that was one of the tournaments this weekend, either MTGA Zone or the Mythic Society one.
Yeah, it might have even been an aggregate if someone was pulling data. So that would be, like, you know, a pretty large sample size of events. And yeah, I don't think Goblins should, like, it's very easy to beat the Goblins deck. Like, I do not lose to Goblins by putting 4 Essence Scatter and a couple board wipes in my deck at instant speed. Like, Magma Quake plus Essence Scatter will just beat that deck every time. They can't build their deck in a way to combo you quick enough to matter and still be resilient through your hate. Or if there is a way, they haven't hit that chord yet consistently. And so you can just hate that deck out of the format. Now, maybe it's not the most fun thing in the world and you want to hit it for those reasons, but I think it's kind of cool to have this tribal deck, and there's a lot of counterplay to it, and we have more Historic anthologies coming out. Maybe we'll get some, like, Plague Engineer that will really just, you know, completely hose the Goblin deck. So
I love Plague Engineer.
Plague Engineer is a cool magic card. It's kind of, like, low-key great, right? Like, it's, like, a strong, powerful hate card that's a creature, so you can just destroy it. And it's not, like, unbeatably strong either.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, I think Goblins Day 1 is great, and then hop off it, you know? I really can't in good faith suggest playing Goblins for Day 2 of the event. This does lead us to the deck that a lot of people are talking about right now as the other best deck in Historic, the deck that I'll actually probably play across both days, and that's Team of Reclamation. Allie, they didn't ban Wilderness Reclamation. They hit just Nexus, and it turns out that if we just kind of port the deck we have in Standard to Historic, it's really, really, really good. It's like, really, really, really good. Like, the best deck in the format probably seems to be that way when it comes to the win rate and representation as well. Allie, what do you think about Team of Rek going into this weekend?
I think it's definitely the deck to beat. I think it's probably the best deck in Historic right now. I have talked to a couple people, and I actually think I agree that it's probably a byproduct of Goblins being really, like, well-represented. Team Erek has a decent Goblins matchup, so that could be, could definitely be a consideration. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it's really good. I think it's a deck that you should probably be playing for at least best of three. I'm not sure about best of one, though.
Yeah, I think if you're going to play best of one, you kind of have to be targeting it a bit. But I just really like playing the deck. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I'm kind of like, I've got two shots in the can, you know, when it comes to gold. So I'm gonna take my shot with Wreck, and if I miss, I'll try to goblin some people. But, you know, yeah, I just think Team Erek is definitely the deck to start with. If you want to come with, like, a, hey, I'm playing, like, take the best deck approach. I think there are other decks that are quite good. I think Field of the Dead has, like, a good reclamation matchup, like, a fairly good reclamation matchup, surprisingly. And I think Keth's combo is also really strong. And we'll talk about this more later in the show. But I do think Team Erek is, like, the level one or level zero deck for, like, day two of the metagame. So if you're playing a deck, I'd come prepared, or if you're looking for a deck to play, I really do suggest Team Reclamation. It's so fluid, it's so powerful, and you can really customize it to play, you know, a lot of different ways and have a lot of different flex cards. Who knew that this would be such a powerful strategy, Ali? Who could have foreseen this? Not us. Do you want to talk about Keth's combo, though, now? Because this is kind of the deck that is starting to pop up this week, getting a little bit of churn. You know, we've seen it do pretty well at the Mythic Society and the MTGA Zone. I don't think winning those events, but doing well. And we saw Emma Handy tweeting about Keth's a bunch and saying it's busted. So what do you think about Keth's combo?
Yeah, I actually, like, just thought I was not capable of playing it, so I haven't really touched it much except for a little bit today. And I mean, I probably don't even know the inner workings of the deck, and I'm easily winning every game I play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think this deck is probably, like, just as busted as it was in Standard.
Yeah, I think if you're going to come prepared to beat Keth's, you need to, like, really come prepared. It's funny, I was actually, I mentioned earlier I got 9th of Team Erek in the Open last Saturday, but the night before I was actually about to play some Valorant with Emma, and we were in the lobby, and I was talking. I was like, I'm kind of like, on Team Erek, I really think it's strong. I'm not sure. Should I just play your Keth's deck? I think that deck's awesome. You know, and this is before Emma added, like, the Lurises and changed up a pretty good bit. And she was like, I think the deck's good. It's really, really hard. You need to put some time into it. And I think that, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, you know, with you not having not played the deck, because I had not played it. And so I say all that to say, don't, like, if you're hearing this, put some time in now if you think about playing Keth's. Don't try to wing it, especially for date. If you decide to, like, play the deck in day two, people are gonna have hate for you, you know. I like had a, like, people have, like, Tail's End and Grafdigger's Cage. We see, like, Goblins players playing Grafdigger's Cage, like, to help beat the Keth's deck, even though they're a Muxus deck, which is a weird sort of thing that's happening. But I think you can hate Keth's out, but you have to have a lot of it and pressure. So, I still have to say Keth's is great, but put time into it. That was a really long-winded way to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That deck is, I mean, that card's just busted, though, right? Like, that, it's weird because it's just so inherently busted, but it'll probably never get banned. I don't know. I don't really want to get into banned talk, but Keth's is just kind of a crazy card to me. I'm glad we have something in the format like it.
Yeah, I definitely think if you were looking at more, like you were talking to Emma, I think definitely versions like her version are probably more difficult, and I might just be sticking to the classic play Keth's with a actual win con or whatever. But
oh, when I was talking to Emma, she had a win con in her deck. This was before she low key jumped off the rails and maybe busted it, but yeah. So I really feel like with those decks, I normally think they're quite good, but I always want to preface them with they're hard, make sure you put time into it. But I really hope that doesn't come off to listeners as I'm saying they're hard, don't, like, shy away from it and use this as an excuse. If you think it's good and you think it's the deck to play and you want to play it, don't let that be discouraging. Let that encourage you, like, okay, I need to put time into this. I need to do this. And that process can be really rewarding. And so I think sometimes it comes off as me being like, don't do this, you know? But in reality, I'm just saying, like, make sure you do your work, basically. Because I think it is strong enough that if you play it cold, you're going to do pretty well. It's just, I think you're going to miss some of those, like, optimization moments, you know, where it's like, oh, I'm supposed to do this now because of this. I'm supposed to sequence it this way, you know, and just those little things can go a long way into making the deck really from, like, a great deck to, like, an unbeatable deck. And I think Keth has played at its best, and your opponent doesn't draw their hate is, like, nigh unbeatable, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that kind of brings us up to the next deck to talk about. This was the best deck before the bannings and Jumpstart came out. I thought it was still going to be pretty relevant, but it's not really shown up as much, and that's Gruul Aggro. Allie, what do you feel about Gruul right now?
I really haven't seen Gruul at all in any capacity. I've seen, like, Gruul control lists, if that's, like, a thing. What? Just, like, a go bigger, like, Gruul list,
Like Sarkhan's Unleashing? Or like...
Yeah.
Okay, alright. I've played against that deck some.
Yeah, I saw it like top eighted one of the two events this past weekend, and I pulled the list to try it out and then saw that it had Sarkhan's Unleashing. I had no interest and immediately threw it away.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Sarkhan Unleashing plan. Do nothing enchantments that require me to resolve big dummies in this format is not exactly what I'm about. But I do think Gruul with Embercleave is totally fine. Like, it's like a good deck in my opinion, but I don't know where it went, and I'm so curious as to why it disappeared, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I've actually been seeing way more mono red than I have Gruul.
Yeah, what do you think? I've seen a bunch of mono red too. Are you talking like wizardy stuff, like Lavamancer, Lord of the Ground, or like bigger with Chain Whirlers and that kind of like going up, you know, to four drops like Torbran? What kind of mono red have you been seeing and liking?
I've been seeing both. Last week I was testing out a couple of kind of like the bigger lists, like more creatures, Hell Rider, like no burn, and then today I was testing out like full on 2018 wizards burn spells to the face, and I, like, that was actually like really good. I really like Hell Rider, but
Hell Rider goes burr.
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's like where we want to be though.
Yeah, I agree that I'm not sure.
I love it, but like I don't know. I don't think it feels right.
Yeah, I feel like if you draw Embercleave in that deck or whatever, you know, and those like power cards, you're gonna do well. But without them, your deck is just so mopey compared to the other stuff we're talking about. You know, like Reclamation, Goblins, Kethis, those sort of things just are so powerful and so punishing. So. Imagine if Red had Eidolon, though. That would be so good. Wow, I just thought about that.
That's really good. I am definitely a fan of the Red decks, so if you want to make Red better, I'm for it.
Yeah. I guess if you want to play Prowess, Modern's the place to be, though, when it comes to that sort of thing. It's crazy over there. It's wild. Don't go back, Allie. It's like... It's like Gruul prowess and is it prowess or like top decks and Rakdos prowess, and it's a wild time to be alive. Speaking of like weird prowessy spell based decks, Mono Blue Tempo is another deck that we've seen kind of burst onto the scene recently. My opinion of these decks is that they're kind of meh and they prey on certain things, but I also haven't played against them a bunch, and I definitely felt my opponents weren't the strongest Mono Blue Tempo player, so. Players, I should say. So have you played against this deck? What's your feeling kind of on Mono Blue Tempo in the format?
I just like really liked that deck. I tried it out a handful of times, but really, I don't know. It feels like it hasn't done a whole lot recently. I tried it. It seemed like fine, I guess.
Yeah, it's just unimpressive. It's unimpressive and uninspiring, right? It's like, you do a lot of work and you have to counter a lot of stuff to not win the game very quickly. And all these decks are doing such powerful things, and they're so resilient at doing them. And there are so many cards you just can't beat. You know, like if you counter a bunch of stuff at a Team Wreck, and then they end it all by like bringing back that Uro that they played four turns ago, it's like, oh my goodness, it's undone all this work, and I just can't kill this thing. And just stuff like that, I think, is it's a no-go for me. But I do think that if you hit a bunch of fair decks, like a bunch of the tier 2 and 3 stuff in Historic, you're probably dominating them. They just probably can't compete with the mana efficiency.
Yeah. My idea was like, oh, cool. Like, Mono Blue has typically been, like, really good against just pretty much every Reclamation deck. And just for some reason, maybe because Teemer's playing, like, 3 or 4 Blast Zones. But sure. it's been pretty rough, actually.
Yeah, it's hard there for the Mono Blue life. You hate to hear it. Autumn's not even playing Mono Blue. They're playing like 9 tokens. Like, come on. If Autumn isn't playing Mono Blue, I'm off it. That's my new stance going forward.
Maybe you shouldn't be either.
Yeah. Speaking of off it, and it's kind of surprising with Explore Print in the format, the Field of the Dead, Golos, Bant Golos, 5-color Golos, I'm going to kind of clump all of those decks in right now. I'm going to talk about probably Field of the Dead Reclamation as well, which is a deck kind of in here. What do you think about the Field of the Dead decks kind of in general? Because they were poised to be one of the better decks in the format. You know, like near the end of the last format, we saw like you and Nick Prince playing the Nexus of Fate Field of the Dead deck and crushing with that. And then, you know, things changed. And what kind of happened? These decks have kind of poofed.
Yeah, I think most people have just kind of smushed Field of the Dead and... What's the other one?
Reclamation?
Yeah, Reclamation together. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's all I've been seeing in that aspect, but...
It feels like the format's too fast for it. That's kind of my opinion. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just feel like everything's too quick, and somehow the army of zombies that's unbeatable late game just isn't good enough. Which is...
Yeah, I
bizarre.
Think things are quick. I never really agreed with the notion that Field of the Dead was bad against these decks, or these aggro decks, but I do think it was bad against, like, Team Wreck. So I definitely see how Team Wreck is kind of just, like, right now the better field deck to be doing. I guess, like, Embercleave is kind of, like, bad for... the field decks, but I don't know. Everyone said aggro beat Field of the Dead, and that was just not my experience.
Sure. I think Embercleave beats Field of the Dead. That's
like, I'll agree with that. That makes sense.
And I don't think there's... In my opinion, I don't think I've ever played Historic, and there's been a good aggro deck that didn't play Embercleave. Like, Goblins, in my opinion, is like a combo deck. So, like, I just don't, you know... So, like, basically, in my mind... I think if it's like a triangle, Field of the Dead is bad against card Embercleave. Luckily for Field of the Dead decks, the Embercleave decks are not really good at finding Embercleave. They really hope to just find Embercleave, you know? So that's been kind of my experience. And I definitely think the Field of the Dead decks are strong and powerful. But things like turn 4 Muxus, turn 4 Kethis combo, turn 4 Reclamation... turn 4 Embercleave. Like, most of the things we talked about before this are all kind of bad news bears for Golos and Field of the Dead decks, and so that's my thoughts on why they've dropped off. And I think it's a fine deck, but it's not, like, the best deck. You know what I mean? Like, you could play that deck... Like, if we were going to an SCG and we were traveling to play a Historic SCG alley, and one of our friends said to us, like, hey, I'm gonna play this Field of the Dead deck, I'd be like, oh... That's totally reasonable. You know, like, I wouldn't be like, I really feel like you need to get off this deck. Where, like, if you told me you were going to play Mono Blue Tempo, I would be like, hey, I feel like you need to get off this deck. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I see that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, we've hit the best deck in the format from the best Magic player of all time, Crokies. We have Jund Sacrifice. Allie, what do you feel about Jund Sacrifice in Historic?
John Sacrifice. At that point, I feel like, why aren't you just playing Rakdos Sacrifice? I think that's just the better deck.
I agree. Let's talk about Rakdos Sacrifice. I think Jund Sacrifice is unplayable and has no good matchups in the format. I'm so glad we had this conversation. Krokis is so good. He wins with unplayable decks all the time. It's almost like he just hot streaks. So Rakdos Sacrifice, Allie, what do you feel about that deck?
I think it's really good, and I think you can build it to kind of do whatever you want, right? You can build it to be an aggro deck, you can build it to be a more grindy control deck. You just whatever the format needs, you can just build it however you want. You can make it more graveyard based. There's a lot of Grafdigger's Cage running around. You can like not do that and just be like a sensible person, but I'm not a huge fan of like the Stitcher Supplier etc. nonsense, but
yeah, you can take hard stances here. I just did a second ago. I think the Citrus Supplier stuff is just not that good. It's just like the plan is to hit a cat, and then some of the Citrus Supplier decks don't even play Kroxa, which would be like the thing you would think. Like, oh, you're playing Citrus Supplier to like get your Kroxa and find your Kroxa, and then they're like, nah, I play like 1-0 Kroxas. And it's like, I get it, Kroxa isn't the strongest thing, but like that Citrus Supplier card is like really good in Modern because of dredge cards, and there's just nothing like that in Historic, so I don't know what you're like doing. Like, finding a cat is not a reason to put that card in your deck. You wouldn't put Diabolic Edict in your deck, you know, right? Like, yeah, Diabolic sure. Tutor. So I don't know. I think the Rakdos Sacrifice decks are fine. I don't super recommend them, but I will say Phyrexian Tower is a messed up Magic card, and that deck gets to play that. So That's a big get, and I do think Mayhem Devil is still a really, really powerful Magic card, and having the Phyrexian Tower in that deck gives you just another kind of consistent sack outlet that the opponent has a hard time interacting with, and I think that's really huge. And if we see Historic see some more bannings and a powering down, I could see this being an easy tier zero deck. So
yeah, if you want to beat Goblins, I think it's a reasonable choice. If you want to beat Team Wreck, you should not touch Sacrifice at all.
Yeah.
Leave it at home.
Big fact. If you want to beat Kethis, I think you should probably not touch it. Leave it at home. It is, it's rough out there. Who knows how those people do it? Speaking of they don't know how they do it, I'm going to vent for a second. So I was debated by Twitter. I saw Boros / Naya tokens, depending on, you know, if you want to play Greenlands and stuff in your deck or not. And I was like, wow, this looks busted. Allie told me on the Constructive Criticism podcast that Luca's going to break cards eventually. I saw it. This is it. I fell for it. And I crafted my cards for it. I lost my foreign commons in the one mythic for Hoof. And then I win like every game one. And I just can't win a game two and three with this Naya Tokens deck. So am I doing it wrong? Am I bad? What's going on? What do you think about this Naya Tokens deck? Because it seems like it should be busted.
I don't know. I haven't really had much experience with it. It feels like the issue with like Crater Hoof, right? You kind of need more to do than just, I don't know, like making one big like 5/5 or whatever. Cause like, I feel like a lot of the time you only end up making like 2 tokens or something before you try and go off with Luca. So maybe you just need something that makes more tokens. I don't know. Maybe there's just like more interaction in Historic as well.
Yeah, it's weird where it's like I probably make 4 tokens before like Crater Hoof, but there's only like 2 left over. Between like transmogrifying and like spot removal stuff, and it feels like that shouldn't be enough, right? Like if I told you your one token becomes a hoof and you one dies to a kill spell, you would in theory think, wow, that's an easy game. And then in practice it's like, wow, I can't win. I got them to 4 and my deck just does nothing else from this point, you know. And that's really frustrating and disheartening, because it seems like, or maybe it's good this isn't the best deck or anything like that, or a best deck, but like the Naya's tokens, the Boros token deck, I think it has like some unbeatable draws, like truly, truly unbeatable. But it's just way too inconsistent for a deck, in my opinion. And I think if you're trying to do that sort of thing, you're much better off playing Kethis or Goblins or Gruul. If you're trying to, like, you know, assemble this combination of cards to win the game. So.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. I just, like, it's not fast enough to be, like, comparable to any of the other combo decks, I think.
Yeah. It also, it's a combo deck that doesn't always win when you finish your combo. And I get that Embercleave doesn't, but does it really not win the game? That's my question, you know? It's like, I get that they didn't die right there, but it's not like you just had a 5-5 laying right afterwards. You have Embercleave for every creature in your deck. Meanwhile, I'm over here like, ooh, Satyr's Cunning! I'm Ben White's! Yeah. You know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a much different game. That kind of does it for all of, like, the really good decks in Historic, or the decks that are kind of close to it. The deck I kind of wanted to end on was, it's like, hey, if you think about playing Grixis cards, you know, maybe don't. I love you. Treat yourself better, you know? Like, if you love Grixis cards, that's good, but maybe if your goal is to win $2,000, maybe don't play Grixis cards.
I want to try Alion Trazi's Best of One Reanimate deck.
Oh, I had not seen this. What's going on?
You just end up, like, milling yourself a lot, and you try to reanimate with Unburial Rites, Scholar of the Lost Trove.
Oh, okay.
And then you also have Rise of the Dark Realms as well. So, like, you're doing a bunch of milling stuff, so then you cast Unburial Rites into this creature into Rise of the Dark Realms and just, like, win the game. There's a bunch of other, like, nifty cards in there too to reanimate, like Massacre Worm, but the idea is, like, you just get all your creatures back with that combo, and it's super cool.
That is super cool. I really like the idea of that. That sounds like fun. I'm gonna have to build that deck. I've been memeing around in Historic, which is probably not the best thing to do when there's a PTQ/2K tournament about to come up, playing mono black, like mono black mid-range, where, like, I'm a Yorion mono black deck with Golos and Chromatic Lantern to activate my Golos, and it's so much fun. It's like the most fun I've had playing Magic in forever. Have you ever Gaunti'd your opponent and then Yorion'd your Gaunti?
I love Gaunti. I'm so happy that that's something in the format.
Imagine if you have to do it again, though. What if you took their Teferi 3 and you unsummoned your Gaunti and you did it again? Wow, what a time to be alive. I have gotten paired against 4 Niv-Mizzet 5-color decks, and one of them was Cori Biomaster. I got the 3 cards in deck and almost decked him before his Uro killed me. I was so mad. I was so mad. I was like, I almost decked you. We're playing Yorion Mirrors here. And, like, it's some of the most fun Magic I've ever played. It's truly just a blast. Your cards are all terrible, but you have, like, all the mana in the world, and you have a bunch of weird situational cards, and sometimes they come up and you have a tutor package. It's great. It is something completely amazing and a truly joyous time. Probably the best deck in the format. I play Rise of the Dark Realms on my sideboard, Ellie. If you ever Rise of the Dark Realms your ETB mono black Yorion deck and then had it all ETB again, it's the best. You can mill them on Gaunti's. You get, like, 9 Gaunti triggers. You start taking cards. Suddenly they're looking low on deck size. And, you know, you're up 25 cards or whatever.
All right.
I'm going to have to get a donation stream for you. I'm going to have to make you play this deck. It's it's truly, truly the greatest experience I've ever had.
I'll trust you for now.
All right, word. Well, don't worry. You're going to trust me when it hits your PayPal in a second. That's going to wrap it up. So, Allie, we talked a lot about the Historic here. So you think you're leaning Kethis for at least day one of the event? Is that where your head's kind of at, if you had to give people a recommendation going to this weekend?
Yeah, I think if you know how to play Kethis, or if you have the time to just put in reps, I don't even necessarily think it's, like, the most brain-breaking thing. You just need to, like, get the reps in and understand what's going on. I would recommend Kethis.
Word. I would recommend for day one, Kethis, Goblins, or Teemer. I think they're all great. I think they're all get you through day one. And I would only recommend Kethis or Teemer for day two. There are other decks that are totally good, but I think those are the decks for this weekend. And come prepared for both of them, because people are going to play them in troves. And I really hope some cool stuff comes out of this weekend, Ellie. Historic is so new. We have all these new cards. and there's so many powerful things going on, and there might be some stuff that we're going to see some, you know, 7-0 screenshots on Twitter of like, hey, I just won 2K with my Boggles deck. And we might have some cool new stuff to talk about for the next weekend. So that's exciting.
I'm here for it.
Awesome. Well, that's going to wrap us up for this week. Allie, if someone wants to find you and talk to you and be like, hey, I heard Mason made you play this mono black deck, where can I go to watch these sort of things? Where can they go to ask you those questions and find you?
Twitter at Mythic Meebo, twitch.tv/mythic_meebo.
Awesome. Partnered now, by the way. Congratulations. We did not get to talk about that.
Thank you.
I hinted to it earlier in the episode, but congratulations. That's awesome. If you want to find me, you can go to twitch.tv/TheMasonClark. You can go to the website, better known as Twitter, and follow at Mason E. Clark. I'll provide you with 80% magic memes that are C+ at best. Don't ask for more of me. And 20% of the time, I'll hit you with real content that might actually be helpful. Thank you all so much for hanging out, and we'll see you all next week for another episode of Constructed Criticism.